Master conguero and percussionist Pancho Sanchez leading his orchestra with Next Exit. It's from his 2001 album, Latin Spirits. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday. 888-874-4888. It's time to just take the conversation wherever you want it to go. I know that we have been talking about the elections. I imagine that you will want to continue doing that. But, of course, it's open for discussion on anything you consider worthy of further debate. It's peer-to-peer education at its best. So call in at 888-874-4888 and take your turn at the lectern. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? You're on the air.
Hello?
I'm not hearing.
Hello?
A thing.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear anybody say anything. How are you today, Eutrice?
Fine, thank you. What's on your mind? That you're going to free up?
I want to say hello to all the Leeds legions out there that are...
The lead
listening in. Hope everybody
Thank
is
you.
Doing well.
Thank you.
My point today was these kids that are protesting out there and by Trump Tower from NYU and Cooper Union, they should all get on buses or rent some car, go up to Vermont and go visit Bernie for the weekend and have a weekend at Bernie Part 3. I think there was a movie called Weekend at Bernie's, Part 1 and 2. They could make Part 3. And
why do you say this?
Bernie the task, you know, for, like you've been saying all along since the primary, the 13 million people that voted for him, they should be taking him to task. And instead of protesting Trump that Trump won, they should be protesting that Bernie didn't get in the race as an independent, and then he would have been in the debates, and he would have mopped the floor with Trump, and he would have probably won the election. So I think their issue should be with Bernie. Go up to his million-dollar lake house and get him out of there. Put him out there. I don't know. Does it sound like something good?
Well, it's what you think. And this is what this is all about. You express what you feel. But I want to ask, why do you think that
I mean, you seem to disagree with the protests at the Trump Towers across the country, and these protests, by the way, in some cases have become a little more violent than they should. But what is wrong, in your view, with protesting?
No, I have nothing wrong with protesting, because I was protesting all my life, it seems, since I was about 15 in like 1969. Seems like it's just been an ongoing protest about something. And I'm kind of tired now. I'm 62. It's just been... So I'm glad to see these kids out there, but I'm afraid for them, because I know what happens once they... You know, I think they're letting them get some steam off right now, but... You know, then when they crack down, when they want to, you know, I don't think they're going to enjoy.
Well, you know, what's troubling to me is that they don't want Trump, but they seem to be saying they would prefer Hillary Clinton. I just don't get that.
Well, they figure Hillary was like Bernie or something, maybe something. I don't know. I don't get it either, but... they figure if they couldn't have Bernie, at least they should have Hillary. I don't know. The kids from NYU, Cooper Union, they probably have wealthy parents, and it would probably benefit them to have Hillary
well,
in there.
Well, maybe they just, I mean, sometimes it is the fact that you can see clearly they don't have as much information as they should, but I think... The other thing that it points up is there's nobody there really directing what they ought to do and how best to capture that energy that they have. This, as we've been talking, is a time of reckoning. And you would imagine that there would be somebody, some mechanism, as I keep talking. We have no defenses. And in the absence of defenses, it means you have the absence of leadership, people to provide some kind of direction about how you use your energy and which is the best way to go. It seems to be that it's evolving, and I'm hoping that before long something would put them in a direction where they have cohesive action towards something that could work. But for now, you're right, it's a little troubling. It's
right.
A bit troubling.
Yeah, that was going to be my second.
Thanks for getting us started today.
No, could I still say one more thing?
Sure, absolutely.
My second point, because you were mentioning we're like defenseless out here in the water with the Green Party. We have no contingency, and we have no anybody to endorse. And so I was thinking to myself, and it might be totally ridiculous because I'm not that great at my political views and stuff, but. The NRA, wouldn't that be a good lobby to support the environmental movement? Because they like to hunt and fish, and they should be concerned with the environment. And we could get Ted Nugent, you know, that rock star guitar player who's, like, really big in the NRA, maybe to come on the show or Gary's and try to get them to sway the NRA to back the Green Party, because I feel that they're worried that the Green Party is a bunch of peace freaks that want to take their guns away, and I don't think that's what we are. I think we want them to have the right to bear arms.
But their views are so, I mean, their views betray what they really feel, and I have to tell you, it's blatantly racist. It's sexist. It's primitive. Really,
I know, but maybe we could straighten that out in their minds.
Yeah, but that's not our job. Our job, our job is not to straighten people out. Our job is to scramble quickly.
I'm just saying, as a compromise, to try to get some defense, to try to get something built up. I mean, I know Jill Stein went to support the Indians on the pipeline, and we could get all this going on the environment, because my main concern is the environment and having a healthy place for our children to grow up in. And, I would think that that would the NRA would be concerned about that also, but I guess I might probably be off on that. But it was just.
Yeah, but you also have to watch the company you keep. You know, you can't just run around willy nilly forming coalitions with people or organizations that have really scary attitudes toward others. It's just a very strange kind of marriage. And eventually, it will fall apart because you're diametrically opposed, really. Even if you think you have something in common, you have more differences than things that you have in common. Thanks, E. You got us started today. Thanks so much for calling
in. Thanks very much, Eutrice. I hope you have to stay healthy, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I know it's been a while since I called into your show, but I've been listening.
Go ahead.
I tell you something. Part of me is so glad, in one sense, to see what happened the other night on election night, because if you listen to the media for the past 6 or so months, it was a coronation for Hillary Clinton. There was supposed to be an easy road to the White House. She was the next president. It was all said and done. It was coronated. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, Donald Trump rips this election right from under her. The arrogancy of the Democratic Party and the Democratic National Committee, they basically wanted to push Hillary as their candidate. They basically trotted out the wrong candidate to run against Trump, and now look what happened. So the Democratic Party and the Democratic National Committee gets what it deserves, in my opinion. Now, I'm no Trump supporter. I can't stand Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump is a narcissist, a xenophobe, a racist. But I will say one thing for him. He didn't have to rig anything to win the primary and win this election. He won fair and square.
Well, the most notable thing about this election is how really detested both candidates were. So
exactly.
People say, "Well, I'm glad he won and not her," mm-hmm. or they say, "I hope she would have won, but mm-hmm. he did." You say, "Well, it's 6 of 1 and half a dozen of the other."
Right. Right.
Where does this put you now, in terms of your own political outlook, and clear who won? What now for you?
For me, I'm not like the rest of the country. I'm not in this panic mode or this oh my God, the sky is falling. You know, I'm looking at it as I'm just going to continue to do what I do, and I'm going to continue to get up, go to work, and life goes on. You know, now. I will say this, and I've told my friends this, I will be critical of Trump just like I was critical of Obama. Now, they didn't like me being critical of Obama, but I'm sure they'll be more than forthcoming seeing me be critical of Trump as a president. But at the same time, as from my political view right now, I am done with the two-party system. I would really love to get a third party going. I know the Green Party has not done a lot with regard to reaching out to certain segments of the population. Hopefully, maybe that will change. But I'm done, as far as I'm concerned, with the duopoly we call the Democrats and Republicans, and especially the Democrats at this point. Because for me, part of what we saw happen the other night is a failure of the president in office right now. And the arrogancy of the DNC and the arrogancy of the DNC to take black votes and minority votes for granted, as though they have them on lock.
Well, why are you blaming Obama? Why do you think he is responsible?
Oh, okay. What I mean by in terms of blaming Obama, remember when you had your conversations regarding Obama as being a tweaker? remember when you said, remember when people elected Obama, we were looking to see if we can get some substantive change in Washington. We didn't get that. We got what you quoted as tweaks here and there. Not, in other words, like you stated, he moved the dial just a little bit, but he didn't move anything across the room. And I think because the change didn't come, that substantive change, people saw Hillary as more of the same thing. In other words, the same thing that we've seen in politics for the last 30 or 40 years. So people lashed out at this time and decided we're not voting for the status quo in terms of politics now. They'll go with Donald Trump. As boorish as he is, he's an outsider. We'll go with him.
Well, you clearly have a plan, and you say that you're going to just continue what you have been doing. But is that enough, you think? Or do you believe that you need any form of added political protection?
Added political protection?
Yes.
In the form of what?
Well, do you think you can do everything and protect yourself and your turf and your life politically just by yourself? Or do you think that there's something else that has to happen to form mm-hmm. coalitions of some sort or to form some mm-hmm. way? Because you know what politics is. You know, you're going to be attacked one way or the other, and you have True. To be prepared somehow to deal mm-hmm. with what's coming. Do you feel that at all, or is that more too much of an exaggeration?
I put it to you in this sense. Look, I have people that I deal with in my day-to-day life that have, how shall I say, similar political views as I do. It's far and few, but I do have some people that feel the same way from a political perspective. I'm not saying that I wouldn't need some form of political protection, and nobody's going to say you want to go it on your own out here. But at the same time, I just don't think that the duopoly that's in place now is doing anything for me or people I know. I think the duopoly, uh-huh. as it stands, has failed us. And right now, I just feel like when I say I'm done, I'm just saying I'm not a team player of any of those teams. My thinking is go with the candidate that best articulates your point of view. It doesn't matter if he happens to be a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, also some strange fourth or fifth party that happens to come on the scene. In other words, I'm done with identity and team politics.
All right. Okay. I think you got that clear.
Yes.
How do you propose, then, to keep, let's say, Trump in check?
Do you see that at all
as part of your responsibility, or it's not part of your formula since you are looking more toward yourself as an independent, you're flying solo?
It doesn't mean that I can't participate and voice my opinion with regard to what Trump does. I mean, I did it when Obama was in office, and I did it also prior to the president before Obama, which was Bush. What I'm saying is I'm not going to put a lot of faith in the system as it stands. Yes, I can voice my opinion. I can send an email, write a letter, blah, 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 maybe say to get people involved or whatever if they don't like something that he's done. But like I said, I don't put a lot of faith in getting anything out of it at this point. But that doesn't mean I'm going to totally just – let Trump get away with what he wants to get away with. You know, at some point, if he does something that really raises my eyebrow, I'm going to have to say something. But like I said, I don't put faith in the system because, again, I've seen what it's been doing for the past 30, 40 years. And I think this whole duopoly has basically failed the constituency it's supposed to serve.
Well, I think you have brilliantly stated your case. Thanks so much for calling in.
No problem. You too.
Chris from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Chris?
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, Eutrice. Good afternoon. I needed to call your show because I just needed to put something out there in the universe. I couldn't agree more with the previous caller. I think his name is Sean. He makes such an excellent point. He's a thinker. And I think that the intellect of the American public, generally speaking, has been totally trashed and so disrespected by these parties. And as a registered Democrat, I'm going to pick on the Democratic Party right now because I think they showed, they exhibited the hubris. It really is, it's hubris. It's not just arrogance. It takes these mythological proportions, their behavior, and the hypocrisy. It's interesting to me that, you know, he mentioned, the previous caller mentioned the protests that are taking place, and I understand the protests in Portland, Oregon it was a bit called a riot because they took bats and they were breaking storefronts and businesses. It's really interesting to me. I'm all for protests. But I'm wondering, at this point, after the election, when in fact the election was won, abiding by the so-called rules that have been applied there, right? What is the purpose of the protests now when you had a Democratic Party that, messed up with its own candidates? And, you know, it's understandable that one candidate, they were for Hillary Clinton because she was the designated, et cetera, et cetera. But these protests should have taken place when the delegates from Minnesota, including, what's his name, Al Franken, and the other one, Amy Klobuchar, I think, who, even though Bernie won during the primaries, won Minnesota, I believe, the delegates went to her. I mean, one has to question, even if you play by the rules that are in place, you know, with the Electoral College and all of that, even by their own rules, they violated their own rules, and no one took to the streets, including a lot of the alternative media, including Pacifica and others that you would have expected, wait a second, you didn't count all the votes. You know, I mean, I'm questioning myself, and it's like an Alice in Wonderland experience because you're looking at it, and all of a sudden, this kind of shock that no one would have believed if you had said years ago that Trump would have gone as far as he did, let alone be the actual president-elect, okay? Now, all of a sudden, everybody is looking back and saying, oh, you know, that demon, that, you know, this mean person. Well, you know what? I think Trump, in many ways, I agree with what the previous caller said. In many ways, I don't think anybody, I think even people who have racist, you know, maybe have more racist tendencies, I don't think anybody agreed with his presentation or the boorishness of his words and the lack of protocol as far as that, you know, political display went. However, I think that this, and these are not my words, this is Professor Stephen Cohen. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but I was listening to him this morning on an interview, and he said that he felt that this result was actually a vote against, to use it in quotes, political correctness, that people are tired of being told how to think, what to think, how to feel, what label to put on their forehead, what meaning these labels have. I mean, what does it mean to be a Democrat today or even a Republican? I mean, what do they stand for? They don't stand for what they allegedly want the public to buy from them. In other words, they're selling you a product, and the product is not in the box. You know what I mean? It's like ordering something that doesn't come in the mail. You get an empty box. You know? Uh-huh. I mean, what do they stand for? What are they supporting as far as the democratic ideals are? And they're not there anymore. It's a neoliberal corporatocracy. That's exactly what it is. And people see through that. And we can use all of the labels, and we can have Trump as the scapegoat. And I'm not saying that I'm not using it as a scapegoat as poor Trump. I'm saying that he is a phenomenon in and of his own right, but he is responding to the phenomenon within the American culture, you know. And, I mean, this thing where I was listening this morning, and, you know, they're saying, well, maybe we can go to, you know, they should protest and have the delegates go with Hillary. And I'm thinking to myself, It doesn't even get better. I mean, people just need to step back. The Democratic Party needs to step back and look at itself in the mirror and acknowledge, okay, its arrogance. Because in many ways, they brought it about by the fact that they violated their own rules by not counting all of the votes. I mean, I voted for Bernie Sanders, and when they didn't, you know, when I was listening to this, and I'm thinking, okay, I understand the way some of the states work. They have the caucuses, and it's not totally democratic. However, that's the way the system is. They didn't even count a lot of the votes from California. I mean, how
many? 2 million of them.
Pardon me?
No. There is an estimated 2 million votes that weren't counted.
Exactly. So I'm asking you, I mean, mathematically speaking, it doesn't matter what side you're on or what color we are or whatever. I mean, I don't understand just by a logical thought. And when I say logical thought, I don't mean dry mathematics. I mean that one, you know, I mean, two follows one, three follows two. You know, it's a form of order that we have. in our lives so that we can direct ourselves in some, you know, germane and viable way, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking, why weren't they angry at this? And even the people who were supporting Bernie, why didn't they take to the streets the way they're taking now? And telling the Democratic Party, we want you to count all of the votes. And they could have still gone with Hillary Clinton. They could have still done it, okay, because by their rules, that's what it was. But why didn't they take to the streets then? Why now that he has been elected? So now, I have a, you know, the nature of these protests, I'm just questioning where they're coming from. I really am, because I'm thinking, what is it exactly that they want to accomplish at this point in time? This is not Donald Trump's doing. You understand? I mean, he was where he was. He did what he did. And the media and all of this, the millions of dollars that these people make, and they call themselves, they have the audacity to call themselves journalists, constantly hitting the low point. You know what I think? I think a lot of people, and I'll tell you even from my own self, like I would never have voted for Trump, and I did not vote for him. But I'll tell you, there was something that clicked in me viscerally. It wasn't even intellectual. I tend to intellectualize about a lot of things, but there was something about it that this extreme demonization of him, you know, in the last few weeks by the media and the issues that they were focusing on were so insulting to me, insulting to my personal intelligence, that they were not talking about the people that were being killed in Syria as a result of the policy of this country. They were not talking about what Bernie Sanders was talking about, and he was ridiculed for, was the role of Wall Street and the big banks, which, if you think about it, I know people get bored thinking about this, but when you understand it a little bit more, you realize how much that's the matrix of the problem of most of it, because there's so much money involved in this entire election, the billions of dollars that are spent just to elect a president, and if you don't have it, you just don't rate. I mean, these were the issues, and they weren't. They were pursuing, you know, charges of someone who ran for Miss America, and she was on a reality show, and she was insulted because he told her that she was overweight. I mean, I'm a woman, don't get me wrong, but these are not the issues that should have been elevated during the debates. I mean, I don't care about the Miss Universe. If there was something there that merited any kind of legal action, that she has a right to take it on her own. This was not an issue for me as an American citizen living in this country. What about Social
Security?
Well, it was security?
Proof, I think it was proof of how very shallow the
exactly.
whole operation was. There wasn't very much meat there. And the media's main task was to destroy Trump because they were very much involved. They were part of it. I mean, the WikiLeaks documents showed, you know, Wolf Blitzer and many other journalists essentially being active participants in promoting Hillary Clinton and making it a point to not cover the negatives of Hillary Clinton. So the media just fell down on the job. They ought to be ashamed, and they ought to be outed. And we really need to examine the role of media, which is part of the propaganda machine. It did a very effective job. But even so, you still have to say, okay, you're pro-Hillary. All right. You have the media on your side. You have the black vote, quote unquote, on your side. You have women on your side. You have all these constituencies supposedly supporting you. And you still didn't make it. That means there's something wrong there. In that line, I want to ask you, you're very clear about in your deciphering of the election. What now is your political charge to yourself?
Well, I have to tell you, I have to answer along the lines of the previous caller to some degree. I don't know. I just feel like I'm sort of done with the Democratic Party as a party, to use it in quotes. This is not to say that individual candidates, I mean, I'm a registered Democrat. I mean, I don't mind saying that, you know. I just can't, for the life of me, from my own sense of self-respect and dignity, I wouldn't have voted for Hillary, not for a lot of other reasons that people say, because she did not represent or stand for anything that I wanted to hear and I needed to hear, okay? For me, it was crucial and critical that the campaign finance reform that actually President Obama had originally, when he was running initially, it wasn't about health care. If you recall, if my memory serves me correctly, he has stated very clearly at the time that he wanted campaign finance reform because it had gotten to the point where it was excessive, okay? He didn't accomplish that. Whatever. The point is that that is where the problem lies, and the tragedy of all of this is that this sort of corporate, you know, this banking corporate cabal that exists here in the Western world, it's not just in the United States. It's in Europe, as we saw very, very clearly with their austerity measures. I mean, they control and run the show, and they interact with each other. And even if Trump had any, you know, if one were to believe, even his comments about trying to, you know, be friendly with Russia and to work together, they actually demonized even that. That, I would think, would have been a platform of the Democrats to say, wait a minute, we've had a lot of bombs, a lot of drones killing innocent people all over the world. I don't think you would like it if they bombed your own child and they maimed him or her. Okay, even if you don't like those people there and you have no connection, the point is that as a human being, if you want to say that you're a fair American and an intelligent, sophisticated person from a very powerful country, you need to say this. And you need to stand up and say, we need to look at Russia. Russia was power. They look out for their own interests. And the idea that she got away with making these statements that he was Hitler and these really juvenile statements that she lowered herself to, you know, I mean, certainly her oral capabilities, I mean, you can't compare them. I mean, Trump has nothing with her. She's very eloquent. And the idea that she got away with these statements and she wasn't, you know, smashed against the wall and said, wait a second, I mean, are you saying that you would actually, you know, start another Cold War? Because that's essentially what she was saying. I mean, just to give you an example of one of the things, it's like it was one of the things that Trump said, regardless of with his orange hair or any of the other stuff. I mean, that made a lot of sense to me. It was a valid point,
but I'll tell you what I like hearing in both Sean and now you. What I like in what you're saying is that you have no fear. You're not afraid of the uncertainty of the future, but you are very clear about the craziness of the present, and you want no part of that. So it means that you have done some degree of reckoning already. You've already begun that process, and that is where we ought to be. Think about the moment we're in. What is it telling us that we have to do? And to be fearless about it, even if you don't have all the answers. This is the greatest thing I'm hearing today. This is fantastic. And this is exactly where we ought to go. Don't panic. Sean says, I'm not panicking. I'm just going ahead doing my thing. But he is getting closer to defining what his thing is, as are you. You're very clear, it seems to me, in what you're saying today, that, well, the system as it is not meeting your standards at all, and you don't want to be part of something like that.
That is exactly how I feel, and I want to thank you because I just think you've paid me, I mean, it's not a compliment, but I just feel I feel satisfied that you have validated my position and my thinking and my feeling because you know what? I'll tell you, a lot of Americans, even though they might not be willing to admit it because they don't want to be affiliated or associated with a figure like Trump for various reasons, I think a lot of them were very invalidated. You know, their feelings and their sense of who they are and their lives are not validated by the system at all. And this is what these parties need to look at because, you know what, if it continues like this, I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to thank you for the time. I needed to voice this for someone who would have given me enough time.
Well, you might have done one big service that you probably are not aware of, but this is really why we should be talking. Because as you talk, and I'm listening to a person describing a methodical examination of the situation that we're in and coming to some pointed conclusions, as did Sean, what it is I am now going to do. the direction I'm going to be headed, because I recognize what is not working. And you have, I mean, you recite a chapter and verse, and you're right, these things are not working, and these things are very dangerous. And you don't want to be part of that. You don't want to support that.
No, and
thanks so much for this great call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, my professor. How are you doing?
Hello, my professor. How are you doing, Ali?
I don't know how I'm going to top those two callers, but oh my goodness, they just are thinking the same way. We got the right president. We got the right person in power. That's what I have to say. Yes, we do. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the system had been created that it would be either A or B. And it was the system who put these two people there. A was better than B, or B was better than A. So we got one of the two. There were only two choices. The third choice, or the fourth choice, they didn't count. They were almost crossed out. So the reason that I'm saying that we got the right president, the right person, is because I think this going to energize people, I guess, to do better. Do I have fear? No, I don't have any fear. I'm going to tell you why. As people know, and I have called here tons of times saying that I'm always out there protesting. Did I go out and I'm going to go out to protest against Trump right now? No. The first thing that I'm going to tell you, today, 3 weeks ago, we were in front of the Trump Tower with our sign supporting the Central Park, what you call five. There's supposed to be seven, but we just used five because five went to jail. Can you please tell me who showed up besides people from our group, which is a very small group? Only one person who is not in our group. There were about less than 10 people. Where were all these people that now they're complaining that he was elected? But I have news for those people. The fact of the matter is that the United States of America, they go to Latin American and they take people down, people that the citizens of those countries have elected. And you know what the United States said? This is who we want. This is what Mrs. Clinton did in Haiti. And you know what? We have to swallow these people because there is no protection and we can't really do anything. One of those last countries have been Honduras. And remember who approved that government of Honduras? Mrs. Clinton. And you know what happened to this? What's happening to the people of Honduras? They had to swallow the pride and accept who the United States of America had told them, this is the person that I want you to govern your country. So United States of America, the system is telling all of us now, this is the person, either A or B, that we wanted to be in power. So this is not something new for people that are Latin American. No, this is something that we have seen over and over and over again. So you know what? It's coming here. So maybe it will wake up some of these people. They are sleeping. And even there's some, and I don't want to offend anyone that calls your program, but even some of these people that they call, and we talk and talk, and then we don't do anything. So you know something, people? Get ready, because some of you need, like you were asking yesterday, what to do? What are you as a person going to do? And it's funny because yesterday you had to repeat the same question to these people they're calling your program. What are you going to do, you as a person? So it's about for all of us to wake up and be ready. Am I going to go out there to protest against Trump? No. Because the system is telling us this is who we want and this is who we got, your guys going to get, you want it or not. As a matter of fact, I don't even think we're going to be able to protest that much longer. I think something is coming our way. But you know what? I'm getting prepared. I'm always out there. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid that he is our president. Did I vote for him? No, I did text the man. But I also did text that woman. So this is what I have to say. People, get ready. Tough times are coming, and I'm glad that he's our president, because I wanted to know what those people that they thought that he would be so good, when he's not going to be able to deliver. And we already know that, because Mr. Obama didn't deliver. And even those people in those small towns that voted for Obama, that voted for him, thinking that he would be able to deliver. So Obama and then Trump, and I would like to see the third one next time around and see what's going to happen. That is all I have to say. I'm ready. I'm going to my meeting tonight. There is people that I think that I'm crazy. I had tons of conversation on text messages on that night and the next night. And you know what? Some people think that I'm crazy. But you know what? We got the right person. And that's what I have to say.
So Donald Trump is the lightning rod, as you see it, for really coming to terms with this system and with yourself as a person, with your political power that you do have. It's an interesting take, and thank you so much for contributing today. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, but we're not hearing you too well.
Oh, I'm on the plan. You know what?
Hello, we're not hearing you well at all.
Okay, I'll just tell you if I'm calling back. Okay?
It's a poor connection. The engineer is
okay.
Having... Okay, we'll try you another time. It's not working. I don't know where you might be, but the signal is really poor. Okay. Well, let's try Ed from Queens. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Utrice. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, I'm a little disappointed, but I'm just what I wanted to say was that we've got to. I know people are frustrated. I've been talking to people. Some people are even reduced to tears. But the bottom line is this: the two-party system, the system in general, the governmental system, we have to get rid of it. And if this is not a sign that we have to get rid of it, that it's essential that we get rid of it and start to work on some type of alternative, then nothing is a sign. So let's get all the, I mean, to me, protesting at this point and having violent altercations and standing in front of Trump Towers is a waste of time. The energy should be put forth to political education and movement building. I mean, I understand people are upset and you want to get your yayas out. You want to relieve your frustration. But that's a futile effort at this point. Let's start building. Let's start getting together. Let's start forming the coalition that we need to eventually destroy this system. But people need to express themselves, and I can understand that. So, but let's get it over with. Let's get it out of our system. Let's get politically mature, and let's start working on destroying this system, because it needs to be destroyed.
Well, let me ask you just to go a little bit further on your ideas here.
Yeah.
For yourself, what form will this take?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what form it will take. I mean, I'm looking at more of a rainbow type of coalition, for want of a better word. The same thing that that Jesse Jackson was trying to do back in 1984 and 88 before the Democratic Party cheated him out of it. Same thing Bernie Sanders was trying to do. But I'm in my late 40s, and whatever takes place is going to be for the younger generation, the millennials, the people 20 to 30, and it's got to take the form that they see it taking. I'm not a futurist. I can't predict what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to be something, and hopefully it'll be better and replace the mess that we have now, the craziness that we have now. But I think it's going to be like a more, just to speculate, like a rainbow type of coalition across the board, representing the true heartland, the true foundation of America. You know, black, white, gay, everybody together. You don't have to agree on everything, but if you can agree on 90% of the things, the other five we can argue about. But that we need to do that, because this is not going to work. It's not working now, and my personal opinion has the potential to get worse.
I think so, too. What do you say of the leadership that, for lack of a better term, leadership that we do have now? Do you think throughout this campaign that they showed really good, responsible leadership, or do you think that, well, they kind of fell down on the job?
I think these people in the Beltway are in a bubble. I don't think they understand, or they're so out of touch with the real people in this country, that they actually believe what they're doing has some merit. I mean, you had two substandard candidates. And I blame the Democratic Party largely for it, because they knew Hillary was a substandard candidate. And you had a candidate that you could have put against Donald Trump and possibly and probably won, which is Bernie Sanders. But you turned on your own, you ate your own, to put this woman, or to put Hillary Clinton in a position to where she was supposed to be, quote unquote, coronated to be the next step in line for the American presidency. And you knew it, and if you looked at it, I'm not a pundit, so much for the pundits anyway, because they predicted they were so wrong, it's ridiculous. But if you looked at it, you knew she couldn't win. You knew she couldn't win. There were people that had fast opinions about her. She has a terrible record with the Clinton Foundation and what happened in Haiti. And it was like the DNC just totally ignored it. So, no, we don't have leadership. We have people with machinations and fantasies of being leaders. But they have no leadership, because to be a good leader, you have to have a pulse on the people. And apparently they don't have it at all.
Well, thank you, Ed. You really are opening our eyes, I think, the listeners generally today. And I'm so pleased that we are thinking, and thinking correctly, of what is it that we do. First thing is, we just need to be calm. Like you said, don't despair and don't run out there and get all frantic, because that's what they want people to do. That's the first distraction. You're going to be all consumed with being frantic, and you don't have enough time, and you won't devote enough time to thinking in order to inform your future actions, which hopefully will be very beneficial to yourself and to your community. So thanks so much for that. This is perfect instruction. Thank you very much. Daoud from Brooklyn, you're on the air. We're very New York City-centered today. What's going on with the rest of the country? Daoud, you're on. Daoud is not on. Okay, T from New York, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I could.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur exactly with everything he said, but I would add that we need grassroots, homegrown people. We can start our own party. It will, like the Tea Party started their party, which I can't really call them the true Tea Party, because anyway, we won't even go into that. But we can have our truth party. This is a coalition from all the organizations who are like-minded, who see the absolute corruption and see the secret government and know that, look, the power is with the people. We just have to organize. And if we do the homegrown thing, each one of us be a party of the truth party. And not, you know, it's not, and just eliminate parties completely, but it will be called the truth party. But everybody in every state, grown, homegrown, just connect with other organizations, start it with, and say that, you know, you're part of this coalition of the truth party. And it's for everybody. so that we can join and start to really galvanize together. I mean, we can have organizations where, you know, we it's like soccer moms. You start saying, well, we can stop this gas problem right now. We can start, you know, just pooling with each other, driving each other to work, you know, driving. We can do stuff like that. We can do with the solar energy. We can do with the thermal energy, and we can do with the wind energy, and we can do biologic, the bioenergy. So we can, you have to think outside the box and organize, and we can eliminate a lot of their power because we won't be using their resources. And this is people that got money. I mean, Trump got elected, and, you know, I could have been the president. I didn't go to college. I mean, I went to college, but I didn't get a degree. Like, he didn't get a degree either for anything. You know, he maybe has a bachelor's degree. I could have ran the president. I didn't have to go to college and, you know, 4 years and another 4 years, get a master's degree and do anything. That just proves to you how broken the system is. So people have to think, we can do this. We can get together. We all join our truth party. Start it at your home. And just branch out and touch every other organization. I mean, Black Lives Matters. I mean, everybody for the energy, everybody for conservation. I mean, the land protectors, reach out to everybody. We have to join together. And then we can beat this thing. Because this is a big monster. This is not a little task, but the people of America is big. If we just organize and get together, all of us.
This monster that you just talked about, T, what led you to understand it better this time around, let's say, than any other time?
Just seeing the treachery of the Democratic Party. Like the guy said, Ed said, eating his own. It's sad. It's sad that you would, you know, get to that point where the elites or the evil eats who call everybody else worthless, and they're the worthless ones who are trying to destroy the planet and most of the population on it. But the thing is, you can see so clearly now. You can see how they're militarizing the police, and I can't understand how you can go to war and fight for to make rich people richer and not really know what you're doing. I mean, everybody has to have a responsibility on their self. They have to have a conscience and know that this is not right. You know, and then they lie and they make these false flag operations and blame it on other people so that they can keep killing and murdering people to fool people, the masses of the people. Which most of the masses of the people are not fools, but the ones who are, it's so dangerous. And it's so sad because you just really, I mean, how can you just rationalize the stuff that you allow yourself to go into? Like the police are being so militant and hateful to other people because they're wearing a badge. And the judges, they put on that robe and they change into this different monster, you know, and it's like, you forgot how to be human. You forgot your humanity. You just, it's sad. I feel sad for
those
people.
The frustration. I hear the frustration. But, you know, you're thinking it through, which is a very, very important thing. You are thinking this through, and you're beginning to connect dots. You're seeing what's going on. And you're making sense of this reality, which is why you can now say, what is it that they're not getting? Why are they continuing down the wrong path and expecting me and others to go along with it? But I'm not going along with it. I'm thinking about something else, and I'm going to get my way there by doing some thinking. And this is excellent, excellent, excellent. A self revelation. Excellent. Thank you so much for contributing today. Well, Thank you. I love you too. That brings us to the end of our program today. And you can see the benefit of allowing people just to talk. There is extraordinary value in what we got today and every day that we talk. And it's meant simply to encourage us to examine further for contradictions and try to the best of our ability to move in a whole different direction, fully confident that you have taken a pretty exhaustive look at things and the conclusions that you are seeing, the sense that you're making of your reality is spot on. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. You always can count on learning something from him. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. It's a pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. Have yourselves a great weekend, and we'll see each other Monday with good stuff.